Thank you, Father God, every time we were sick and when we needed something, you were there, Father God. Father God, forgive us, Lord, for every time the angel of death came to visit us in the night, Lord. We woke up complaining about what a miserable life we have, Father God. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for every time sickness came, Father God, and you rebuked it, Lord. And we woke up complaining that our joints are sore, Father God. Forgive us, Jesus. Thank you so much for everyone that came tonight, Father God, to hear the word, Lord. Thank you so much, Father God. For everyone in this room tonight, please, Holy Spirit, wash through them. Make them clean again. Make them new again. Make them light again. All of your sins, all of your burdens, all of your things that you're upset about, just flow away right now in the name of Jesus. We don't believe in religion, Father God. We believe in only you. Thank you so much, Lord. Father God, thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father God, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Pray in prayer with me. Lord, I meet you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Take control of my life and make me that kind of person you want me to be.
Amen, amen, and amen. What an amazing prayer. Thank you so much for that, Richard. Amen. Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you so much for another night of teaching, Father God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that every word that comes out of my mouth, Father God, is from you. Lord, I pray, Father God, that the Holy Spirit has had ample time to convict me, Father God, of any sin in my life, Lord, and that I've repented of it, Father. I repent of not being grateful, Father God. I repent, Father God, of being rude to the gentleman at Safeway, Father God. Lord, please forgive me, Lord. I am even not worthy to be your servant. It is so hard to walk in the ways of righteousness, Father. The deeper I fall into your arms, Father God, the more that I realize how much sin that I still carry in my life. Please forgive me, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Sometimes it's just the three of us here in this room with a little fire going. And I'm so grateful for that. And I know that I need to be just positive, and I need to be grateful for the small things, and don't despise humble beginnings. But I just couldn't help but realizing today how grateful I am for the loyalty of the members here. I mean, you guys just come every single Thursday night at 7. You push in, you help me set up, you worship Jesus. Tonight, Duk brought Vietnamese food, amazing food that he paid for out of his own pocket. Richard helped set up the chairs and get coffee going and set up the sanctuary. It's just so nice to have loyal people. When you look up the word loyal in the dictionary, it means unswerving in allegiance. Faithful allegiance to one's sovereign or government. Faithful to a private person to whom fidelity is due. Faithful to a cause, you know, an ideal or a custom. You know, devotion, dedication, unwavering, steadfast, unfailing. You know, there is a difference between being loyal to the Seattle Seahawks and being loyal to the church.
Amen.
You know, you should be unwavering. Think of all the teams, all the causes, all the people that you have been loyal to all the way through your youth, all the way through your life. Which ones are still deserving of that loyalty? Which ones are not? When I was younger in my childhood, growing up in the Arctic Circle, in order to survive, we actually formed a little gang. And the members of the gang were from ages 5 all the way up to ages 40. Everybody just ran in a big pack, all 20 or 30 of us. And the teenagers raised the little ones. And the 20 or 30 something raised the teenagers. Just brought up in a pack. We learned about everything, all the ABCs, all the birds and the bees, by actually physically watching it. We learned how to work by actually physically watching people work. And I needed that group to survive because I didn't have a family. But I look back on it now and I remember how loyal I was to that group. Extremely loyal. But I wouldn't be loyal to it now. Because of all the horrible things that we've done. I used to go out on fishing boats during my youth out in Bristol Bay, long before it got all fancy on the TV with shows, when it was just Levi's jeans and rubber boots. You know, you'd wear a little Eddie Bauer jacket and a stocking hat, and you were out there in your knees with fish guts floating around, and you'd just go to bed, and you'd wake up and have to go to work again. There would be a rim of salt around the cot, so thick you could chip it off with a hammer, because you're in your rubbers and you're full of sea salt and you're so tired you don't even take them off. You just crash on the cot and you pass out, and the next thing you know you're being woke up because it's your shift again. 12 hours on, 12 hours off. Brutal hard work. And I was so loyal to that vessel. I was so loyal to its captain. Many times the captain would have had too much to drink. And 14, 15, 16 years old, I'm driving this $1 million rig through the Bristol seas. And the bow light is being lost underneath the ocean. You can hear the props coming out of the water. The storms would be so rough. And I felt so cool to be so loyal. But now that I've looked back on this captain's life and the many things that that captain did in Alaska, the many horrible things. I was the young kid, so I would always get picked on and thrown the most horrible jobs, like pumping the bilge. I used to have to clean the decks. I used to always have to go down. My worst job was going down and pounding oakum into the wood. I hated that, pounding oakum continually. There was always a leak in that old rig. And I was so loyal, but would you be loyal to that today? Which ones are you still loyal to? Jesus actually returns something to you. You feel the Holy Spirit burning on your face. You feel the joy inside of your stomach. You feel yourself getting convicted of sin. You feel yourself changing. You feel yourself morphing to something else. You want to be loyal. Let's see what the Bible says about loyalty. Loyalty is unwavering in good times and bad. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. I have a good friend in my father-in-law. He is a good friend. Not only is the elder of our church, but Neil is also my father-in-law. And I can call him in the middle of the night, and he will come and do something for me. He never will shirk a task. Today, you know, we bought chickens. And I went to collect my little peeps, you know, and I put them in the thing, and I realized there's no top for it. There's no roof for this little metal container. And I've got a cat, and I've got a bull mastiff, and I'm like, okay, this cat is going to just rip into these peeps. He took his own time. He created the mesh. He created the wood. He stapled it together. And he did all of these wonderful things for me. He went and got the chicken wire. He went and got the wood. And he built this beautiful roof that fits right over the little brooder. And now my dogs can't get in there. And now the chickens are safe. And it's so amazing to have somebody. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. And I call him my brother. As a matter of fact, every time I see him, I say, hey, brother, how you doing? What kind of friend are you? There, you know, there's a big difference between knowing someone well and being a real friend. I know a lot of people very well, but very few of them are good friends. The greatest evidence of a true friend is loyalty.
Amen.
Amen, that's true.
Being available in times of distress or personal struggles. That is how you match how good of a friend you are. When you've got one quarter left in your pocket, when they're giving you one phone call and you're in Panama and you're going to jail, who are you going to call? When you've just been dealt some bad news, maybe you're going to pass away. Who's going to execute your will? Too many people are fair-weathered friends. They stick around when the friendship helps them, and they leave when they're not getting anything out of the friendship. My whole life, I've always paid the way. It seems I've always been the one starting a business. I've always been the one working late in the evening. And I have all these fair-weathered friends. They want to be roommates with me and live with me and stuff. They wouldn't pay rent. I'll get it next month, Phil, and then they'd be gone. You never hear from them again. Or back in the drinking days, I used to always buy the drinks for the band. Everybody loved to drink with me because I was always buying the drinks. I had all these friends. I used to brag to people how many friends I had. I used to be so proud about how many friends I had. And when I got saved and when I began to change, I began going through some trials. And I'd call these friends for help. You know what? Can I call you right back? Okay, bye, Phil. Oh, you know what? I'm busy on that day. I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe that that has happened to you, Phil. You know what, dude? There's really nothing I can do about that. I'm sorry. You know what I found out? I found out that I had no friends. You always gauge a friend by how loyal they are in times of trouble. When you're going through the valley, when the rain's coming down, when the bills are due, when you've got do or die, you've got to come up with all this money in 7 days, otherwise you're going to lose everything. Who are you going to call? Who's going to abandon you? That is how you determine what a true friend is. And it took me a long time to learn that. That's why I'm very lucky to have one or two true friends. And Neil is a true friend to me. I'll call him in a time of need. Duke is a true friend to me. You have proven that to me over the years that I've known you. I can call you in the time of need and you will be there for me. Amen. Amen. God bless you for that, brother. Friends, stick around when the going gets tough. Be the kind of true friend that the Bible encourages. Loyalty. Loyalty. Just a single word echoing out in the universe when you speak it. But it means so many things. Loyalty is what you do, not what you say. I am so sick of people that talk the good talk. I remember before I was going to Palestine, I had been invited to preach at this church in Bethlehem that's outside. I didn't tell nobody, didn't tell my family, didn't tell anybody. Palestinian-held territory, not the best part of the neighborhood in Bethlehem either. My plan was to get a worship team to go out there, to like really usher in Jesus. Not one worship team would go with me. Not one person would travel with me over there. I called all the big fancy, I called the agents. I even solicited people in my own church. Nobody wanted to go, everybody was busy. Being loyal is not what you say, it's what you do. You can talk, but when it comes down to it and you got to do, that is what a true friend is. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 33 through 35, Peter screamed, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you, Jesus." And Jesus said, "I'll tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. You will tell people that you don't even know me. This very night before the rooster crows." When does the rooster crow? About 5:45, 6 a.m.
Early in the morning.
Early in the morning. So before this very night, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, "No," Peter insisted. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. Every single one of them vowed the same. What does that mean? It's not what you say. It's what you do.
Amen.
All of the disciples declared that they would die before denying Jesus. A few hours later, however, they all scattered like the wind. Talk is cheap. It is easy to say we are devoted to Christ, but our claims are meaningful only when they are tested the fires of persecution. How many friends do you have that would get in the fire and fight with you? In my entire life, I can only count two. Amen to that. There is this program, and I know it's not very godly, but it was only on for 2 years. It's called Rome. Horrible program. But it was a true representation of what life was like in Rome at the time of Jesus. The whole story was about these two going through this whole thing of fighting and all these wars together. And then the general gets made a senator. And Julius Caesar loves them both and takes care of them, you know. But there's this one scene where this young guy did something bad. And he was sentenced to death in the arena. And the general's sitting there watching him fight off these gladiators. They keep sending him in until they die. And he's putting on a show. He's managing to kill all these gladiators sent in. But he's getting weak and wounded. And he's all sliced up. And he's bloody and he can't fight anymore. And one of my greatest scenes in this whole show is when he rips his clothes off, the general, and walks into the arena and saves his friend at the risk of death. That was punishable by death. How many friends do you got that'll walk the line with you when the rain is coming down and not make an excuse? In Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75, if we scroll way down to 69, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over to him and said, "Hey, weren't you the one, Jesus the Galilean?" Peter's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." Later by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This is the man that was with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter denied it, this time with an oath, "I don't even know the man." Sometime later, another bystander came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, and this is really bad. Listen to this. "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And immediately after that, the rooster crowed. And suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. There were three stages to Peter's denial. First, he acted confused and tried to divert attention. Second, he used an oath. Third, he swore that he didn't even know the man. When you start denying Christ, even subliminally, by pretending not to know him, you're going to get into trouble. When opportunities come to discuss, you know, Jesus, don't walk away and pretend you don't know the answers. If you find that you're diverting conversation away from Jesus, repent of it. Be loyal. Be loyal to Jesus. Loyalty is in your heart. It is willing and not reluctant. Psalms chapter 78, verse 8. I love Psalms. Psalm 78, verse 8. Stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. That is just an amazing scripture. Just completely amazing. Loyalty can be demanding. Have you ever done something amazing for a friend that was completely demanding? I have a situation going on right now in my life that requires me to be loyal to a friend. But the friendship is becoming really, really demanding. True loyalty is demanding. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. Verses 8 through 13.
"You see, while the people of Israel were still in rebellion, the word of the
rebellion,
come to fight against them, Moses commanded soldiers called the Israelites to arm and fight the army of Amalek, right?
Yeah.
Although I will stand at the top of the hill with the staff of the God in my hand."
Beautiful. In Exodus chapter 17, 8 through 13, "While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, 'Choose some men to go out and fight that army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand.' So Joshua did what Moses has commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so that his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua completely overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. The Amalekites were descendants of Amalek, a grandson of Esau. They were a fierce nomadic tribe, and they lived in the desert region of the Dead Sea. I have been there. It's hot. They made part of their livelihood by conducting frequent raids on other settlements. They were pirates. Basically, they killed for a good time. One of the greatest insults of Israelite culture was to call someone a friend of Amalek. When the Israelites entered the region, the Amalekites saw this as a perfect opportunity for both pleasure and profit. But this time they went up against the wrong group, a people led by God. For the Israelite slaves to defeat such a warlike nation was more than enough proof that God was with them as he had promised to be. Aaron and Hur stood by Moses' side and held up his arms to ensure victory. We need to hold up our hands of our spiritual leaders as well, shouldering some of the responsibility, lending a word of encouragement, offering a prayer are ways of refreshing spiritual leaders in their work. Duke brought some food in tonight, some Vietnamese food, and it's going to be completely amazing. Richard set up the chairs, prayed for us, got some coffee going, and God sees that. You know, loyalty requires huge sacrifice. Laying down your life for a friend, Jesus said, is the greatest show of love that there is. I had a family member that moved recently, and I had to lay down my day moving their stuff, paying for the movers, helping everything get done, helping a friend, sacrificing your time, sacrificing your energy. When I serve in the church, I sacrifice my time for God because I love Jesus. And also because loyalty to the Lord will be rewarded. In Psalms chapter 84, there is an amazing promise for everybody. In Psalms chapter 84, verses 10 through 11, there is an amazing promise. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Always remember that God is very, very loyal, and he will reward people that are loyal to him. Disloyalty is going to be punished because you cannot serve him without either being all in or all out. How is loyalty different from friendship? How is it the same as friendship? There is a real difference. You can be loyal to the Seattle Seahawks, or you can be loyal to a friend, loyal to a church, loyal to a worship leader, loyal to a pastor. I mean, how do you feel inside when a friend really proves himself loyal or faithful to you? Doesn't it make you feel completely good?
Yeah, it does.
It made me feel so good today because I was so worried about my chickens. I didn't want to leave them without a roof on top of the little brood. And I didn't know who to call. And I was just getting ready to leave to go get chicken wire and all that. And I remember Brother Neil And he took the chicken wire and he took the wood and he built it. And even made a little thing so I could snap the heat lamp to it. So the little chicks can be nice and warm. How are you at being a loyal friend and faithful friend? We need to change our ways. We need to come together more. We need to be faithful and loyal to everything that God gives us. Be loyal to your care group. Be loyal to your church. Be a true friend. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much, Jesus, for this wonderful teaching tonight. Father God, I am going to try to be more loyal, Lord. I'm going to try to be more loyal to my wife, Father God, to my children, Lord, to my church, to Thursday nights, Father God. I'm going to try to be a better friend, Father God. Please help me, Lord. Please teach me, Father God. And if there's any sin in my life, Father God, Holy Spirit, please convict me of it so that I can repent, Lord. Father God, I thank you for Jamel and Duke and Richard and everyone else that came tonight, Father God. Thank you so much, Jesus. I really, really appreciate it.